Fall, 1981. Chapter 1. I remember it was the Sunday afternoon before Labor Day in 1981, and our senior year was about to begin on that Tuesday morning of September 8th. And I remember that the Wendover Stables were located on a bluff above Malibu, where Deborah Schaefer was boarding her new horse, Spirit, in one of the 20 separate barns where the animals were housed. And I remember I was driving solo, following Susan Reynolds and Tom Wright in Tom's convertible Corvette along Pacific Coast Highway, the ocean dimly shimmering beside us in the humid air, until we reached the turnoff that took us up to the stables. And I remember I was listening to the Cars. The song was Dangerous Type on a mixtape I'd made that included Blondie, The Babies, Duran Duran, as I kept behind Tom's car up the winding road to the entrance of the stables, where we parked next to Deborah's gleaming brand new BMW, the only car on the lot on that Sunday, and then checked in at the front office, and where we followed a tree-lined trail until we located Debbie trotting Spirit by his reins around a gated arena that was deserted. She had already ridden him, but the saddle was still on, and she was wearing her riding attire. The sight of the horse shocked me, and I remember that I shivered at its presence in the late afternoon heat. Spirit had replaced a horse Debbie retired in June. "Hey," Debbie said to us in her flat, uninflected voice. I remember how it sounded so hollow in the emptiness that surrounded us, a deadened echo. Beyond the manicured stables, painted white and pine green, was a forest of trees blocking the view of the Pacific. You could see small patches of glassy blue, but everything seemed ensconced and still. Nothing moved, as if it were encased in a kind of plastic dome. I remember it being very hot that day, and I felt that I had somehow been forced into visiting the stables simply because Debbie had become my girlfriend that summer, and it was required of me and not something I necessarily wanted to experience. But I was resigned. I may have wanted to stay home and work on the novel I was writing, but at 17, I also wanted to keep up certain appearances. I remember Tom said, "Wow," as he neared the horse, and like everything with Tom, it might have sounded genuine, but it was also, like Debbie's intonation, flat, as if he didn't really have an opinion. Everything was cool. Everything was chill. Everything was a mild wow. Susan murmured in agreement as she took off her wayfarers. "Hey, handsome," Debbie said to me, placing a kiss on my cheek. I remember I tried to stare admiringly at the animal, but I really didn't want to care about the horse. And yet it was so large and alive that I was shocked by it. Up close, it was kind of magnificent, and it definitely made an impression on me. It just seemed too huge, and only made of muscle, a threat. It could hurt you, I thought. But it was actually calm, and in that moment had no problem letting us stroke its flanks. I remember that I was aware of Spirit being yet another example of Debbie's wealth and her intertwined carelessness. The cost of maintaining and housing the animal would be astronomical, and yet who knew how interested she really was at 17, and if that interest was going to be sustained. But this was another aspect I hadn't known about Debbie, even though we had been going to school together since fifth grade. I hadn't paid attention until now. I found out she'd always been interested in horses, and yet I never knew it until the summer before our senior year, when I became her boyfriend and saw the shelves in her bedroom lined with ribbons and trophies and photographs of her at various equestrian events. I had always been more interested in her father, Terry Schaefer, than I was in Debbie. In 1981, Terry Schaefer was 39 and already extremely wealthy, having made the bulk of his fortune on a few movies that had, in two unexpected cases, become blockbusters. And he was one of the town's most respected and in-demand producers. He had taste, or at least what Hollywood considered taste. He had been nominated for an Oscar twice, and he was constantly offered jobs for run studios, something he had no interest in. Terry was also gay, not openly, but discreetly. And he was married to Liz Schaefer, who was lost in so much privilege and pain that I wondered if Terry's gayness registered with her at all anymore. Deborah was their only child. Terry died in 1992. Tom was asking Debbie general questions about the horse, and Susan glanced over at me and smiled. I rolled my eyes, not at Tom, but at the overall non-situation. Susan rolled her eyes back at me. A connection was made between us that didn't involve our respective mates. After petting and admiring the horse, there didn't seem much reason for us to be standing around anymore. And I remember thinking...